A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside. After he had sat down, his disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. How blessed are the poor in spirit! The reign of God is theirs. Blessed too are the sorrowing. They shall be consoled. Blessed are the lowly. They shall inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for holiness. They shall have their fill. Blessed are they who show mercy. Mercy shall be theirs. Blessed are the single-hearted, for they shall see God. Blessed, too, the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those persecuted for holiness' sake. The reign of God is theirs. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of slander against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward in heaven is great. The Gospel of the Lord. In Christian preaching, there is a tendency to downplay Halloween and to upplay All Saints' Day. Of course, the liturgical calendar gives All Saints' Day the highest rating, solemnity, while it doesn't recognize Halloween at all. But in point of time, what has become Halloween came first. The ancient Celts, ancestors of the Irish, Scottish, and Welsh among us, celebrated their New Year's Eve at this time of year with legends of the dead walking the earth before the dawn of the next year. Our current fascination with zombies has a long history. In fact, this fascination with the undead lingering among new converts was what led Pope Boniface IV to move an already existing observance of those who died in the times of Roman persecution to November 1st. It was like moving the celebration of the Nativity of Christ to December 25th to counter pagan celebrations of the solstice. The idea of the change was to substitute Christian celebration of what is holy in God's sight for curiosity about the dead that lies outside Christian belief. Catholics have always had a firm belief in the promise of eternal life, illustrated in the lives of those the Church recognizes as saints. The Feast of All Saints professes that that belief extends beyond the relatively few officially recognized by the Church. The following day, All Souls, demonstrates our trust that even after death there is an opportunity to complete the soul's journey to union with God. In terms of our contemporary observances, however, the Church's strategy doesn't seem to have worked out so well. If I am to believe what I see and read in the national media, there has been far more concern about the impact of Hurricane Sandy on children and adults' Halloween observances than about its effect on mass attendance for All Saints or All Souls Day. For many people, I think, Halloween is something like Shrove Tuesday, the day before Ash Wednesday. Then it seems that some eat, drink, and carouse so that the hangover, nausea, and shame on Wednesday morning will make them feel like doing penance. Could it be that Halloween's confrontation with the ugly, disfigured, and frightening makes us more ready to appreciate the beauty and attraction of sanctity. Why should we need such an incentive? You have to admit that Jesus' description in today's gospel of what will bring real happiness isn't that attractive to the contemporary mind. He starts his prescription for beatitude with poverty, sorrow, lowliness, hunger, and thirst. He concludes with persecution and insult. In between these, he does sandwich mercy, single-heartedness, and peacemaking. But with such a description of holiness, perhaps we need to be scared into sanctity. If that were true, however, why have attempts from the pulpit in the past ages to scare people into heaven met with such little success? If we do need an incentive to follow Jesus' recommendations for a holy and happy life, we find it in today's reading from the first letter of John. Dearly beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be later has not yet come to light. We know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope based on him keeps himself pure as he is pure. Our true incentive to live Jesus' beatitudes is that we are God's children now, not just in some future life. Poverty, suffering, martyrdom, and all the rest that comes with this kind of blessedness is no sign of God's anger. Rather, they are assurances that we are one with God's only begotten Son, beloved by the Father, with hope for eternal joy.